Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rasaki Mascani, and I want to welcome all of the panelists this evening. And due to my inability to pronounce certain names, we're just going to say welcome this evening. I'm going to go ahead and be honest. This evening, we have Brother Neb Taharka. And I spoke to this brother yesterday, and it was just like speaking to a family member. He's an outstanding gentleman from what I can tell. I was referred to him by Brother DX, and I'm so glad to have him on here. Let me show you a picture of our flyer that he did for the show. And check that out. What a beautiful flyer. Very nice. So our topic is Quantum Leap into the New Time. So I'm very interested in what the brother's about to talk about. And Brother Taharka, will you please tell us about yourself? And thank you for attending this evening and sharing your information with us. Let's roll, brother.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, brother, it's certainly a pleasure as well as a privilege to be on here. Brother Rashaki, and I have quite a bit of respect for Brother DX and spreading this message. It's really a message of compassion, because we find ourselves in a deep state of amnesia, not just in America, but as a human species, to be quite honest with you. And that is relative to the potentiality that we really have. And probably about 9 years ago, I was introduced to something called sacred geometry and brain balancing. And at the same time, I was introduced to a new concept about time. And I was being shown that we were evolving through a time period from the information age into the telepathic age. And so I did something different. I decided to take the brain balancing that I learned, is really just focusing on sacred geometry, which increases your neurological activity, which could increase your intelligence. And what I decided to do was take the increased neurological activity and study this material, some of which I'm gonna be able to speak with you about tonight. And it definitely is a mind science from ancient Olmec and Mayan cosmology. But what it does is it helps to repattern the mind to access some of the deepest parts of our memory that deal with extrasensory abilities and telepathic abilities, and flat out more intelligent versions of ourselves in the body to operate in this reality. And the more and more that I studied, I became a teacher really quickly. So in 2 months of studying it, and I was studying it maybe about 6 hours a day on average, I just couldn't put it down in addition to what I was doing. And I just saw me advancing. I started to be able to decode hieroglyphs. I started to be able to have some really deep conversations with people. And I wasn't really at that time considered a conscious person. You know, I dealt with personal growth and development, but mainly I was a business person. I did business consulting, and, you know, I did business development, direct sales, and things of that nature. So I've been an entrepreneur since 2000. Timeframe 2001, and have worked through that. And just 9 years ago, got introduced to some concepts that just blew my mind. So fast forward to now, done over 1,000 one-on-one coaching sessions. Also have taught this mind science. I'm introduced the audience to a little bit for 21 consecutive semesters. And so we have quite a few people. This has kind of been an underground movement, really, of people who really been drawn to this. This has been a serious marketing initiative to get people to want to evolve in this way. But we now have come to the point where it's that time to introduce those people to spark their memory, to see if they want to evolve down this path that has really opened our mind up in a whole lot of ways. Just one more thing. About a year and a half ago, I decided to start The Synchronistic Human School of Enlightenment. Still in the developmental ages, stages, it's, I would say, online. You know, it's not a brick and mortar. It's for online to help people in different time zones tap in. But it's been phenomenal. It's been phenomenal. We got about 12 classes right now, and we're building. But really just trying to teach people to go beyond the systematic programming that's been introduced to us, that's kind of governed our lives and have in really influenced the programming and the personal experiences that we have called circumstances and conditions in our life. So that's kind of introduction about me. And so I'm really glad to be here introducing this because it is absolutely phenomenal.
Okay, so would you like to start your presentation that you had for us?
I definitely can start the presentation, and those who are listening, I want to, you know, encourage you to have an open mind and just really realize, you know, a lot of the challenges that we're having. Now, I'm gonna be coming from the perspective, and I'm big on what perspective I'm coming from, because what I realize is that we can come from a lot of different perspectives, and we can agree and we can disagree. But what I've been able to do very well is say, you know what, from that perspective, that makes a lot of sense. From that perspective, I see how that can work. And that's kind of how I was able to become inspired by this to not only teach, but be here today to talk about it. So in lieu of that, you know, we're going to be talking about time in a different way. And so what we found out very quickly is that time is not a mechanical function. It's not a mechanical, it's not a digital function. Artificial time is, right? Time as we know it is linked to a calendar. And what is the common calendar that we all know that we follow, right? The Gregorian calendar. We found some major discrepancies and saw how this had not only those discrepancies, but some major underlying programming effects on those who follow it. And, you know, scientists say that we only consciously use about 10% of our brain power. Have y'all heard that before? 10%. Now, whether it is, that's true or not, I very rarely see people knocking down the door to see how to get the other 90. So, our concept of time, right? That I'm going to talk about is the evolution of consciousness. I want you to write that down. The time isn't a mechanical clock or the consciousness lock. That time isn't a calendar that is able to track taxation. That's what calends means. That I want you to listen to tonight's podcast as if time is the evolution of consciousness. And I want you to show me how your consciousness can keep evolving and being trapped and stay trapped in an artificial reality and stay trapped in the 10%, the 1/10 of the mind that doesn't give us power of the whole being. Okay, so that's the perspective. All right, so let me go ahead and I'd like to share a few things with you to kind of impress you with a few things and print in your mind some very powerful concepts that may be able to position us into a better idea of how our minds can work in this reality and we can fulfill our purpose on Earth. I'm going to tell you, it goes beyond the planet. It goes beyond the race variance. All right. And as we understand that the mind is infinitely locatable, it's part of the etheric body. Now we can see a different self-image and operate differently in the body. So let's go ahead and kind of get into this. Can everybody see my screen? Can everybody see what's going
Yes.
on here?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go ahead. Now, one thing I'm trying to see here is how do I would like to move this panel here. Let's see if I can move it. There we go. We'll move it down here. And we'll do this live show. Okay, so this is entitled Quantum Leaping into the New Time. And this is something that really blew my mind, because in looking at this, I said, wait a minute. All right, how can we access the other 90%? So whether that concept is true or not, how many of you that are listening would want to know, how do I access the other 90% if it's available? Let me give you another statistic that really blew my mind and took this to a whole nother level. That scientists also say that in our cerebellum, that we hold over 100 million years of memory stored in our brain, in our cerebellum. Now, I have some opinions and some ideas about how much I calculated we're using. We're probably using about 100 years of memory, because the memory we focus on is in smartphones, computers, artificial technology. But which of these artificial technologies do you think can hold 100 million years of memory? There isn't one. So it made me really think about, how do I tap into this memory, and what's in these memoirs? What's in the memory in the brain or the membranes that can allow me to be a more dynamic being in this body? Or am I just limited to the 1/10 of who I'm calculated to be because of the programming of this society? All right. So with that, you know, I really begin to delve into this whole idea about memory. So what I'm going to show you is how you can access greater states of consciousness through memory, that we're on a journey of remembrance, that we're just in a state of amnesia, and we've forgotten the totality of who we are and what our purpose is on this planet. And as you dive deeper into this and reach these higher states of consciousness, let me tell you what happens, Brother Rashad. We begin to change our self-image. In this, from this perspective, Amin Ra, the self is the power of God in us that has a limited, unlimited potential. And if we have unlimited potential and we have unlimited memory, there's nothing that we can't become in this body, in this reality. It's just a matter of accessing that memory and evolving into that point. All right. So in lieu of that, who are we and what are we created? Well, we are a progressive group of cosmic beings that are highly intelligent, intuitive, telepathic, and laser beam focused on evolving throughout this journey from this perspective of remembrance, that we don't need to learn nothing else because we just haven't remembered what we already know. And in the world of the absolute, everything has already happened. It's just our relationship with the present, with the precious present. And this is to fulfill our galactic purpose on Earth. And now, instead of realizing the concept, we're able to actualize in the new time. All right? So what is this whole Olmec and Mayan cosmology bringing forth on this evolutionary trajectory? Well, let's talk about the Gregorian calendar. That the Gregorian calendar is 12 uneven months, right? And it's based on Pope Gregory the 13th that started the calendar back in 1582. And I'm gonna show you some hardcore discrepancies that will show you that this, following this calendar, for those of us who want to evolve, not only is it not designed for us to evolve, all right, it's not designed for us to evolve, it's an excellent programming tool. You have 12 uneven months and uneven weeks, all right? And then if you look at the right side, the perpetual 13 moon calendar, you see that there are 13 even cycles of 28. Now, where does this cycle of 28 come from? Well, the measurement of how long it takes the moon to revolve around the earth is a cycle that hadn't been duly noted for a calendrical purpose, because the lunar cycle of the moon has a mean average between the sidereal and the synodic cycle of 28 days. And so we took it a step further and based those 28 days and was able to synchronize it with Star Sirius, some of our Dogon brothers and sisters were able to see this whole planet without a microscope or without a telescope, I should say. And they were able to see it through their telepathic mind. And so when I started reading about that, I said, you know, I would like to be able to do that. So what are some of the things? How can I combine some of these concepts and be able to access my mind that way? So that's when I start first following the calendar. Let me tell you what happened. You know, the 13 moons, 28 days each, 13 times 28 is 364 days. And then there's one day out of time when everything resets itself. Why is that significant? Because if the moon has 13 cycles and we're connecting spiritually to cosmic energy and cosmic cycles to open up our cosmic memory so we could access greater states of consciousness, how could we ever follow 12? Let me give you some other reasons why we can't just follow 12. Look at here, when they started this calendar in 1582 in October, you see where it says October, all right? They started on October the 4th, 1582. And guess what? To correct the errors of the Julian calendar in terms of leap years, they skipped 10 days. Now, we're not in the days, and this is not a saga of the days of the week. All right. We call days plasmas because we're accessing consciousness. And we have found that consciousness travels through plasma. So what happened to consciousness in those 10 days? So we started the calendar. They started it back then on a Thursday. And then on Friday, it went from on Thursday the 4th to Friday on the 15th. So what happened to those 10 days, right? Or 10 states of consciousness, what did that offer us? So let me tell you what our telepathic group did. We re-engineered the calendar that we follow now and what it would have been last year. And we saw the different levels of consciousness that were we didn't access back then, but those states of consciousness we didn't access are posing issues for us psychologically today. So now we have to correct the error in time, because time is not a calendar. Time is the evolution of consciousness. So in lieu of that, we go and look at the meaning of the 12 months, January. Now, even though we know this calendar is flawed, we don't change it. Because it's a calendar of the conquestors. It's a calendar of conquest. It's the calendar of the time is money paradigm. And for us to evolve spiritually, it is my thought process that we're not going to be able to follow this calendar and evolve spiritually at the same time. That's been my experience over the last 9 years. So let's look at some of the names of the meaning of these for those of you who are new to this. January is the god of the doorway. Okay, January, that's what that means. February, an obscure reference of a type of entrails used in the form of divination. Okay, March was named after Mars, the god of war. April and May were named after obscure floral goddesses of the springtime. Okay. June was named after Juno, the wife of Jupiter. July was named after Julius Caesar. Augustus Caesar, Julius Caesar's cousin. August was named after Augustus Caesar. Now here's where it gets tricky. August used to be the month called Sextile, which means six. And Augustus figured that if Julius had a month named after him, then Augustus wanted a month named after himself. So he changed Sextile to August. And at that time, it only had 30 days. February had 29. So he took the 29th day from February and added it to August. So it would be 31, just like Julius did in July. Do you know something? I never, ever questioned the calendar. I never said, what if something's wrong with this calendar? And it has something wrong to psychologically put a consciousness lock on us. Because September doesn't mean seven. Or September, septa means seven, but it's the ninth month. October means 8, but it's the 10th month. November means 9, but it's the 11th month. December means 10, but it's the 12th month. And so after I looked at that, I said, does it make sense for me to continue to follow this in the way that I have in the past? And some of you need to be asking that question. Is there something flawed in this that causes a mental disposition of being receptive to programming that's designed for you not to evolve? Could it be possible? That's the question that I asked back then. And as I started to get deeper and deeper, it started to make more sense. So we start following the 13 moon calendar. Now this calendar starts in the dog days of summer. That's what the Dogon called it, because it's based on the star Sirius, the dog star, right? And the reason why it started then, that Sirius from the 26th of July to the 8th or thereabout of August, this particular star is the brightest in the sky. It's 2 to 3 times the size of our sun. So if we're spiritual being accessing the light, this is a very different light that we're experiencing than the sun in this sector of the galaxy. So what first reason, and we're operating in quantum leaping in the new time, one of the first key things that we got to do is disrupt the systemic programming by following something different, right? So the 13 moon calendar helps to disrupt the systemic programming because we're following the first cosmic cycle, and that's the lunar cycle, the mean average of the moon evolving, revolving around the sun in 28 days. That made sense to me. More than December being the 12th month when it means 10. And the 13 moon calendar, let me tell you, it's the revitalization of the divine feminine, because the divine feminine has what? 13 menstruation cycles that's linked to the moon a year when it's regular, every 28 days. So everything that I was learning and realizing, I could find the cycle in the body or the organ in the body that was connected to. Mind-boggling, right? So now these moons had some meaning. So I had to go through it the first year to see, well, what would happen? I don't know. It makes sense. But how do I know it's not a pseudoscience? How can I do this? This was new to me 9 years ago. So 9 years ago, you could have challenged me. It's going to be a different kind of challenge 9 years later, because I put it into practice and I've integrated it into my life and done this with others. And so now I have a huge argument of how this can be a tool of evolution. So the question is, does systemic programming exist? And if it does, do we need to just let it keep running rapid, or do we need to disrupt it somehow so that we can access a part of our mind, or i.e. memory, that can help us remember a version of ourselves that can overcome these circumstances that we got tripped up on in this age of our journey? Right? So the 13 moon calendar is a disruptor of systemic programming. All right, let's go to the next one, because there's another calendar that helps directly speak to evolving spiritually. Okay, so now there is a law like the law of gravity, which is linked to the law of nature and the law of the power of synchronicity, which is the power in which nature operates from, on how we use that to help us evolve through our cosmic memory into more dynamic spiritual beings. Now, this is a different calendar. So when we studied the Olmec and the Mayan, the Galactic Maya, we found that they studied and followed about 17 different calendrical systems at the same time. And when I first heard this, I said, well, why would I want to do that? But when you see the level of sophistication in which they were able to work from an extrasensory perception ability, from a telepathic ability, that's where the rubber met the road. Same with the Dogon. So how does this 260-day work? That's an odd cycle, I said, and it's called a galactic cycle. Well, it really speaks to the gestation period of a human. So what it states is that it takes approximately 260 days to move from a spirit into a physical being, to be incarnated into this world, from inception to incarnation. That's what that's based on. So now when we look at that, I can say, okay, wait a second now. All right. So these 260 days marks my journey to coming from the invisible into the visible spectrum of the physical world. Okay. Now, how does that work? Well, the 260 days, what happens is you go through about 260, these 260 days as 200 expression, 260 expressions of the Creator. Okay. So these different 260 expressions of the Creator are each one of us is an expression. Each one of us have what we call a kin number. So you see some people on here that have kin numbers. To have a kin number, it means that you now are identified with an aspect of yourself, right? That is dealing with your galactic purpose. And you have incarnated on one of these 260 expressions to fulfill your purpose on the planet. For example, I'm kin number 239, the blue overtone storm, right? The evolved perspective from this is that I empower in order to catalyze commanding energy. I seal the matrix of self-generation with the overtone tone of radiance. I'm guided by the power of accomplishment. Now, when I heard that affirmation that was linked to my kin number, it blew me away because that definitely what I do. I love to see people empower themselves. I love to empower myself. I love to see people go beyond where they are. So it spoke volumes to me, and I understand and stood immediately, dang, this is why I'm this way. I never knew. I said, man, maybe I'm too much. I'm over the tone. I'm always going further than what other people think I should be doing. Right? And so when I looked at this, I said, wow. So these 260 expressions, as I go deeper into my mind, are designed to help show me different pathways of evolving. And then eventually, right, we're able to go through these cycles enough where we're able to master the 260 expressions of the galactic cycle. This helps us to follow the synchronic order, which is always the order. And the more orderly it is, the more synchronicity. Two or more things is working on the whole of one, began to work in our favor. And we start to move down the path of divinity further. We start moving down the path of our purpose. And so this, you can look at the design of this calendar. Those darker days or those darker numbers are designed, they're portals. And when I got started, I didn't know where the portals, I said, man, it's just the portals are going into deeper consciousness somehow. You know, it's the intersection between galactic time and Earth time. And I've seen all these technical terms. You know what I found out? That these portals help us go deeper into our memory. So right now, the kin number that we're on kin number 143. Right. And so you can look up here, you know, find 143. That's where we are on this calendar. Right. And then pretty soon we're about to go to 10 of these darker, greener ones in a row. So usually, and this time we have a program set up to go and practices to go deeper into our memory and access greater states of consciousness so we can be more effective in our day-to-day experience. So we'll be starting that on Saturday. But this is a powerful concept. It's incorruptible. is so powerful because it's not being taught in the mainstream. We've been taught to limit our mind, trade in the other 90% of abundance so we can access some money, so we can access some resources. Okay. So with that being the case, you know, today's expression is the 143rd expression called the Blue Cosmic Night. So somebody was born on this kin number. And this gives just more definition to, okay, what is a little bit more about the meaning of who you are on a spiritual level, but more importantly, how can we evolve from this experience? We've tried revolutions, we've tried picketing, we've tried all kinds of different things, but I haven't heard anybody talking about evolution. So you'll hear me talk about evolution is the solution to operate in the new time. So the affirmation for this expression, Ken 143, the Blue Cosmic Night states, I endure in order to dream, transcending, meaning going beyond intuition. I seal the input of abundance with the cosmic tone of my presence. I am guided by the power of accomplishment. And we typically say this three times to imprint it in our mind and our heart to lock it in. I endure in order to dream, transcending intuition. I seal the input of abundance with the cosmic tone of presence. I am guided by the power of accomplishment. One more time to lock it in. I endure in order to dream, transcending intuition. I seal the input of abundance with the cosmic tone of presence. I am guided by the power of accomplishment. Ashe, ashe, and asheyo. So what does that mean? That the 260-day calendar consists of the cosmic tones, the 13 cosmic tones of creation, and the 20 solar seals of dynamic frequencies of light. And when those are put together, they created one of the 260 expressions of the Creator to show us how to evolve from this state of amnesia back into our original state that we dismembered from, of abundance, of remembrance. So when we look at this, we now are able to move from the information age, where we're in a form limited to artificial programs, into the telepathic age of our experience and access the totality of our mind, the totality of our memory, so that we could evolve around beyond the limited version of ourselves so that we can be more, know more, do more, and have more in this earthly experience. I say. So, a couple of things that are going on. Tomorrow, we're at our school, we're going to be having what we call New Kin Orientation. And this is a class that we have. We can invite people to come and learn how this process works. It's actually a four-course cycle that we use to introduce people into the cosmology. So it's a whole cosmology to support this. That's what's really impressive about it. So if you're interested, you need to message me so I can equip you with how to have an empowering experience with this. Okay. The next thing that I want to share with you is that we're going to be starting those future portals of infinite memory. And we're going to be starting that on Saturday. And on we're going to have a workshop on Saturday and Sunday. And Monday through Friday, we're going to do an early in the dawning meditation to help people start practicing how to access their memory on a regular basis. It's going to be very powerful. All right. And I would say you can follow us on social media. You can just put in the search bar, Neb underscore Teharka. And you can do that on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. And you'll see some videos pop up to start introducing you to these concepts and how they can work and be integrated into your day-to-day life. And so I'm just very, very, very excited. I always tell people in Lakesh, that means I'm another you. Alakim You are another me. I'm another you in Lakesh, Alakin, and you are another me. Hotep, Hetepu, and Namaste. And I also always say that evolution is the solution. So, you know, at this time, you know, any questions about this? Because this is, it's not new, but it seems like it's new. It's definitely abstract. But we need something different than what we are already doing if we expect to get in a more better position as beings on this planet. And if it's not this, present something to me. But trying to refine what we got, I don't think is a solution. And I know it's a solution for me.
And I agree with you full and wholeheartedly. I'm going to call on the panel after I say something. I'm going to say something about what you just said. You know, our platform, you want to take it down. Okay.
I got you.
Our platform, it was designed to what we coined was to self and collectively improve, because it's definitely recognized that what we're being subjected to as people when it comes to the type of world system we have, it's really incorrect, and it's not good for people. It's good for something else. So, you know, like devilism. So yeah, we definitely are sort of in alignment of what you're doing, because we have our lead teacher here, Professor Amin Ra. He could kind of discuss the Kaya Wida philosophy of the US organization, which extracts the best of all Black culture, you know, from different, you know, Black organizations or cultures. So we extract the best, and it definitely seems like what you're presenting enhances the mind, and we definitely need mental evolution. And it gives me an idea of how I'm going to present my book. Brother Chiwara also speaks about mental evolution. So definitely it gives me more information to think about while I'm writing. So now I'm gonna go to the panel. Appreciate what you just said, brother. It was I'm very interested in exploring more about what you're talking about. So I'm gonna go to the panel. I'm gonna start with N241. Question, comment. Thank you for attending.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you. I have no comment. I've been studying with Neb since July. I'm new to this concept, but like you, it resonates with my person, and I just am eager to learn more.
And I think that's a great thing. Thanks for attending this evening. Okay, I don't even know how to pronounce your name.
Greetings, can you hear me clear?
Yes, I can. And can you tell us your name, please?
Sure, it's Eshe.
Eshe, okay. Yeah. Question or comment, thanks for attending.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed the presentation. I am kin to 11. So I have been learning the science for about 4 years now, and I have gone through the coaching with Neb Taharka. It's definitely has been life-changing. It's really helped me to align myself with natural time cycles to get further away from the artificial, you know, just the artificial state of mind, state of heart, and getting more in contact with nature and within my own self. So I'm eternally grateful for this science and this these teachings. And just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to come in to the show this evening. It was great. Thank you, Neb Taharka. And I yield the mic. I look forward to hearing more. Peace.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Brother DX, let's hear from you, brother.
Yes, greetings. Greetings, everyone. I am Ken number 49, the red planetary moon. I've been vibrating on this for a few months now. It feels longer than that, but as you know, time progresses, it kind of starts to become a part of like your daily routine. I really appreciate Neb, like his work and his energy that he has put into these presentations, the classes. It's to me just my personal testimony, Neb. I'll tell him thank you. To all of the kin that participate, like the Moon Goddess, Ken, 211, all the different people that are just like so inspiring. Their energy, their love, their commitment to this higher thinking—it just connects. It's so many synchronicities. Like my testimony can go on and on forever. Like I'm appreciating it and on just a whole nother level. It just really helped me to, you know, realize just how much of a deity we really are. Like yeah. So thank you. That's
All
all
right,
I want
Brother
to say.
DX. Thanks for the link, man. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's go to Inez L. Inez or Inez.
Oh, yes. Greetings. I am Ken 229, the Red Galactic Moon. And this cosmology is amazing on so many levels, especially for women, because what it helps us do is to align with our menstrual cycles. A lot of women are dealing with irregular patterns and different things like that. And so this cosmology is so important for us, but not just for us, but for men as well. So it really works. It helped me to be more in alignment with my feminine nature and really understanding how divine our bodies are, because it's a 28-day cycle. And as women, our cycles are every 28 days. And so by me following this calendar, I see the links. I see how it works. And it also kind of puts you in the state of nature with the seasons and things of that nature as well. So I'm so thankful for Nebtaharka. Thank you so much for everything you have taught me, and I will continuously be your student, and I look forward to learning more. Thank you.
Excellent. Appreciate you attending this evening. Okay, I'm gonna go to Professor Amin-Ra. Professor Amin-Ra?
Body got everyone. It's a pleasure to see all of you online to get this lesson, an introduction to the concepts of time and opening up your mind to use the other 90%. I want to say, Neb, Tahara, we want to thank you for your hard work, study, and organization of this perspective as far as just stimulating people to not only enroll in your classes and study, but others to follow up and also may raise questions themselves. So that's a beautiful thing. Knowledge is very important. I just have a few concepts. When you say, well, let's start with the classes. All the classes online, or are they at a physical place, or what?
The classes, like we have three quarters. We have a fall term, a winter term, and a spring term. And the classes come to a 7 to 8 week period. And
Each one class is 7 or 8 weeks.
yeah, yes, it's six lectures. And there's four lectures that are pre-recorded and there are two live lectures.
Okay.
We kind of created it that way so people could have flexibility across these time zones. We had people start chiming in from the United Kingdom, and a lot of times our classes were at night, 8 o'clock, and they're on at 1 o'clock. So recently, when I started this, I said, let's create a way that's more cohesive to the people that are busy, that are a bunch of things going on and in different time zones.
So how much do the classes cost?
The classes are $360.
Okay.
Class.
Each class on the whole?
Each class is 360. Those who become members, which is a $30 membership, they get access to some of these sessions, special sessions that we do in the recordings. And a lot of them can get 25 to 50% discount, depending if they did an annual membership or a monthly membership.
You have publications. Do they have a bibliography, or do they just, is it just all presentation and lecture?
Bibliography, publications at the time, kind of just really been creating the content from some of the science that was left by Baba Juanique Kimi Tahuti Shabazz. I don't know if you know him out of Atlanta. And this is also was built upon the Nation of Islam, Taneta Muhammad, Jose Arguelles. Some of them did some work and created what's called the Cosmic History Chronicles. And so I was able to kind of take some of the science through the geometry of the mind and some of the synchronic order practices and create these classes. I demonstrated them first and got results. And then some of my students said, you should do some coaching. We understand the concept, but we're not able to integrate them as fast as you. And so when I started coaching, it just took off. That was 4 years ago.
So, to open up the mind, some psychiatrists, I remember back in the late 60s, they said LSD would be the mind-opening drug.
Yeah, LSD.
Then they came up with mushrooms and then they went to peyote and all that type of stuff from the Native American.
Right.
Are there any drugs connected to it?
I haven't used them. I've never done shrooms. I haven't done any drug. That's one of the things that blow me away, because me, a business person, I didn't know much about, you know, hieroglyphics and things of that nature. But when I started brain balancing, I just started, they used to call me the decoder because I was decoding things and I didn't realize it. You know, I was just so excited about the concepts. So I don't teach, I don't condone either. You know, I don't tell people that they can't, you know, use this drug to induce this in their mind and learn.
You answered. But when it comes to, you know, like amnesia and Alzheimer's and other forms of mental uplifting people from depression and giving them a new vision of life. When you say the mind science, would that help any people that may be going through a psychological perspective, you think, if this could get them out of their depression caused by the institutional concept of time?
Yeah, because the concept of time has us out of our mind, that the mind field of consciousness. So I look at it like the brain is the processor of consciousness and the mind is all consciousness. And so the more stronger our brain is, the more we can access more consciousness and realize different versions of ourselves. You know, it's really powerful to experience this. And so people who have dementia and amnesia, there is, through focusing on sacred geometry, increasing neurological activity, and reflecting. Just keep reflecting on the things that you can reflect on will improve memory on a physical level. And then there's a spiritual level of memory that I'm talking about.
Yeah, spiritual.
That's different states of consciousness. Yes.
Yeah. You know, see, when you deal with the evolution of consciousness, as you say, so you're talking about there's a gradual growth, or as you study and get this information to expand your understanding of life and time, from that standpoint, what is the purpose of using the other 90%?
Well, to make your ascension, to like when I look at the total body, the physical avatar, the body temple, the spirit, and the energetic light body that's supported by the chakras and the seven radioplasma, the seven chakras in the brain. And when I look at it, I say, wait a minute. What's the purpose? Okay, so this is how I'm gonna answer your question. What's the purpose of just 10%? I think it's programming. I think that's the part that programs us to be subservient, to being reduced from being gods in the body to machines. Now, that's what I think. That's an opinion. That's not a, you know, a fact, but that's an opinion. But what I will tell you, I don't know what that other 90 purpose is, but I do know it helped. As I've been tapping into it, so we take a dolphin that said to use 20% of their mental capacity and capacitor. They have like a sonar type mind. They have a collective mind where they're telepathically communicating with each other very quickly. You see, so that would aid us in a lot of things, because right now the AI has quite a is evolving tremendously, and it has quite a stronghold on our mental abilities and inabilities.
Yeah. When you say it'll help you fulfill your purpose on Earth.
Yeah, I call it a galactic purpose. So the cosmology teaches us that we came here from the ethers. We came here from the galaxy as spirits, and we incarnated into a physical form. And that's how we got linked to the planet. So what was the purpose of coming from the etheric realm into the physical realm, into the gravitational plane? It had to be a bigger purpose. And the life cycle of where the Earth is relative to the sun and relative to star Sirius, it's beyond the Earth. There's a whole story going on with what happened to the planet that exploded. It's now revolving around the sun as an asteroid field. What happened to Mars? So it goes deeper than just what's going on here on the planet in this present time.
Yeah, and you said it's an evolution of cosmology.
Of consciousness. The evolution of consciousness.
Evolution of consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wrote cosmology. Okay. Well, that's the origin of the universe, looking at that. And when you said this
synchronistic human?
Human. And hue, you put hue for color.
Yeah, H-U-E. Human.
That's color. Yeah.
Yeah.
Melanin. That's for color.
Absolutely.
And you talked about the third eye. Pioneer gland.
Yep. And I call it the all-seeing eye because it helps us see all the memory. And all the states of version, the consciousness, which is different versions of the spiritual self that's operating in the body. And so the goal, let me just say this, the goal from the perspective that I teach, and we go through these different levels, just like the version of consciousness you're operating from is different than when you were a teenager in high school, and same with me. So to be able to access these greater states of consciousness means that we can have more power and dominion over these circumstances, because we've allowed the circumstances to create a personality in us that limits us from being the evolved spiritual gods that we are.
How do you, this is my last question. How do you talk to people about the isolation that they may go into because they're on a different level than the majority of the people? And it's like, I'm a Black nationalist.
Yeah. But
most people aren't. And I think that I think different from most people. Ooh. But at the same time, they're trying to get Disneyland tickets, Magic Mountain tickets, and going to ball games and things of this nature, whereas I'm trying to learn how to foster liberation for our people. So, yeah. But how do you deal with the isolation when you see that you have expanded your mind capacity and, unless you have like minds around you, your own family is going to alienate you and say you're a kook.
Man, absolutely. And Ivan Ron, let me tell you something. I love that question. This is what I talk about on my Sunday sessions. Every Sunday, I talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. So everybody on the surface, evolving sounds like the end thing. But we just become more aware of areas we repress and suppress things. However, in this evolving trajectory, we do get isolated. Let me give you an example. The conflict, I talk about the conflict, the internal conflicts that you're going to experience up front. See, I believe it's not the hardest punch that knocks us out, but it's the one we don't see coming. So I talk about the conflict between our programming and synchronicity. Synchronicity is more of an intuitive thing. We got to follow our intuition. Now we don't. And oftentimes we don't because intuition is speaking to us at a higher level of consciousness than where we operate at. But the programming is so comfortable. It is what it is. And so we have to be able to understand these conflicts. Let me tell you another one. And in the law of time, we have a conflict with consumerism and creativity. Mm-hmm. Consumerism versus creativity. Because we're programmed to be consumers. So we don't quite know how to access the fullness of our creativity. There's one mind, it's a whole mind concept, right? And it's the whole mind concept is dealing with the concepts between sensory and extrasensory experiences, empathetic versus telepathic. So these are things that when we get isolated that we get to face, and some of us can't handle it because we're like, we're so isolated, we're too far, we've gone too far to go back, but we can't connect with the people because they don't understand, nor even most, the majority of people don't care about what we're talking about right now. They will, but not right now. So we got to connect more with like-minded people that understand these conflicts. That's why we've created a telepathic group. That's why I try to create, we created a school and we talk about these conflicts everywhere. This is how you deal with these conflicts.
Okay, thank you, brother. That's good.
My pleasure. You know, all and right. Brother Rashaki, anybody else that has any questions or needs to contact me, this has been very well thought out to address, you know, the psychological aspects that we deal with, the emotional aspects that we deal with, and the spiritual application of the concepts that need to be integrated in our day-to-day experience. And so I talk about all three, because when we walk out off this Zoom call into these internet streets and into these real streets, right, there's people with psychological issues, emotional issues, and from a technical standpoint, there's nothing we can say to change that in them. However, from an energetic standpoint, right, and the energy of, I always say frequency equals currency. What frequency of consciousness are you operating with? And I've seen personally my frequency and other people's frequency that I've taught influence the minds of other people that may want to do some other things and realize the highest frequency wins.
Frequency wins. Okay, Brother Neil. I have about three other people. Do you have time to stay?
I got time to stay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got three other people that I didn't get to. So yeah. I'm going to go to Akil. Akil, do you have a question or comment? Do you have to unmute? Okay, probably just listening. Let's go to Brother Chiwara.
Greetings, 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 greetings. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
I give thanks. You know, it's so interesting because for many of us, like myself, and Razaki, you've heard me mention that to you on many of our conversations, I speak about that the evolution is the revolution. And yeah, I didn't come in at the beginning, but I really gained a whole lot from the position that I came in. One of the things concerning programming and conflict is that we also grasp, this is my own personal experience now, because I've already tapped into many of what the brother was speaking about in his entire program, just from my own life experience, you know, being born in 55 and I'm now in the 21st century. Modern programming is what causes conflict. And it is based on a dysfunctional system. Modern programming is based on dysfunction. That is its function. Now, the natural or aboriginal programming is a non-conflict type of situation, and it's a functional system. So this is where the separation took place during that modern, the advent of the modernization. And so, you know, I really am happy and inspired to see that there is a group of people and that people are picking up on the evolutionary process. And when you're talking about, I refer to it as the GMO streets, when we leave from the Zoom and go into the GMO streets and the genetically modified engineered organism streets. That's what's out there now, because that's what's being fed to the people. GMO foods and genetically engineered ingredients in the food, as well as artificial colors and flavoring. And this is affecting the people. This is the reasons why our behavior is the way it is in the world. It is a great time that we're going through right now. And not many of us will make the transition. And it is only rightly so, because sometimes you can't take a dysfunctional system and transform it into a functional system.
Right.
Because it was never meant to be that way. It has to be an absolute and total evolution. Now, within the fullness of evolution, the body no longer becomes an individual. The body becomes an holistic organism. It becomes the membrane between the mind and the divine consciousness of self, which operates within the physical being. So we are all formed by what you call frailty, and we're formed also by error. Frailty is referring to the human physical, biological, and anatomy and physiological manifestation of the human flesh body. That is frailty. In other words, if you fall, you're going to break a bone, depending on how you fall or what you fall upon. You can hurt yourself. When a baby's born, we're very careful with the child because the child is fragile at that time. If you drop the baby could die. So this is, we're born, this is natural. The body is fragile, handle with care type thing, you know? And then you have the other aspect that formed us, which is error. Error is nothing more than the experience of life itself, the physical, natural, direct experience of life, from being carried in our mother's womb to being birthed through the birth canal, to being born into this dispensation, to begin to grow up and evolve through our different age grades. This is error. You are going to find error throughout that entire experience that we call life. And then what happens is We all become plagued with a thing they call folly. Folly. Folly is when you know better, you know you should do this, you know you shouldn't do that, but you do it anyway. You're stubborn or whatever. And so this is why the first law of nature is, because we are conscious of this construct, our the first law is that we pardon each other's folly. Because in so doing, that means we are recognizing that we are formed by frailty and error, and those things are natural. So we begin to now learn from our frailty, learn from our error, and then we begin to evolve, as the brother was saying, to the true personage of which we are, which is the big G. As the Rastafari, spoken the big G the whole time. So all of this becomes like a reaffirmation for me anyway, as to the path I'm on. So I give thanks for this moment, you know, and I hope to connect with the brother just to continue to have some dialogue of some sort. But definitely, I am Big G, God, with no apology whatsoever. My body goes beyond the cosmic realm. I am all knowledge, which is information, and I am all energy, which governs all things. And I am time itself. Thank you, my brother, for appearing on this platform, and thank the platform for having you. And all the people in the audience, I say more power and divine love and guidance to you all.
Appreciate it, Brother Chuar.
Absolutely.
Okay, we still have a few more. Adila Hassan. You have a question or comment? Just listening.
A question or comment? Can you all hear me?
It's a little choppy, but go ahead and let's see if we can.
Yeah, I'm in a section in a community where I don't have very good reception, but I'm very new to this cosmology. My husband has been in it for a couple of years now. And I'm letting myself unfold with it. What I would say is, when I first heard my affirmation, that it definitely resonated with me. And
oh, we lost her. Hopefully we get her back. Let's go to Lydia. Lydia, question, comment. Okay. Oh, Adila's back. Adila, you want to continue?
Brother, I appreciate the opportunity to share, but I'm somewhere where the reception is bad, so I'm dropping in and out. But I don't know what you guys heard or didn't hear, if I'm being clearly right now. But what I was saying is that this, I'm new to this cosmology. My husband's been in it for a little over a couple of years now. And just recently, during the past portals, I was just spiritually called to just to tap in. And since then, I have been allowing just what needs to come. I've always been a spiritual person, but I've just been really allowing this cosmology to talk to me, for me to see things in myself in a different light. And I just give gratitude to Neb-Taharka. He's been very instrumental in this impactful change in my life, my family's life. And I'm just thankful and grateful to be here at this moment. So that's my share, and I will yield the mic. Hopefully you all can hear me okay.
We heard Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate that. Okay. Lydia, do you have a question or comment? Get that mute. Okay, seem like you're not able to.
Hi, oh, sorry. Yes, okay. No, just enjoying the conversation. Thank okay. you.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you. I appreciate you having the platform.
Thank you. Angela Glenn. You're on mute. Well, I think we went through everyone this evening. iPhone, I think you just chimed in. Were you here earlier? Would you like to unmute? Question or comment? Okay. Well, brother. Okay, there go Angela.
Peace.
How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Okay, great. Yes.
I just wanted to say that I just recently started taking courses like within the last month, and I just noticed the changes within me, the things that I went through, especially through the last portals we went through. I'm really excited about going through the future portals that are coming. And so I just wanted to say that I give thanks to Neb, to Harka, and everybody, all of you, for this platform and just the evolution of our consciousness. Like it really worked, and I can tell that it's really making a difference.
That's great. Appreciate you being here. Now, before I come back to you, Neb, I just want to say that what you're doing is I'm telling you, it's in line of what we're doing. And as Brother Chihuahua said, things are lining up. And I think we definitely need to keep doing what we're doing as units, because we are going on the same path. I know I am, because I have tapped into some things too myself. But I'm gonna be collaborating with you, and hopefully we can get you to come back on, you know, on a regular basis to introduce what you're doing to people so they can elevate. It's about evolution and elevation. So I appreciate what you're doing, and keep it up, brother. Now let's get some parting words from you.
Well, I give thanks. I give thanks to all the comments and the definitely questions. There's a whole cosmology to help support us evolving. And see, here's the thing that I realized, and I tell you, it was Amun-Ra, it was masterful, those questions you were asking, because a lot of times that we learn this on the surface so we can communicate it, but we haven't integrated it in a day-to-day and into our day-to-day life where we can actually show somebody, walk them by the hand and say, look, this is how you handle this conflict, because we're not doing it in a vacuum. So I can have an evolved concept in my mind, but when I go into my next experience, I have to allow that process to override the previous knee-jerk response or program that I operate on, or habitual response. And so it can be intense, because where we are in our thinking is one of the most powerful things that I've heard is, as a man or woman thinketh in his or her heart, then so is she. So the big conflict is between the mind and the heart. Okay. And so as we're able to bring those two together through divinity, we open up our whole mind. This is why I have a class called the Hollow Mind or the Whole Mind Perceiver, Amun-Ra's, based on the law of holonomy, which means energetically, we are systems inside of larger systems. So the earth is another version of us, as is a cell in our body is another version of the body. When the cells, right, say, I don't have no reference to this body, they become misaligned or malignant, and now they don't operate with the whole, and then it takes the body down a whole nother path. This is not corrected. So we are experiencing this on a multiplicity of levels in our human experience. And if we don't have an order to show us how to remember, we dismembered from the totality of being God. And it's like we're remembering we can be all these different levels of consciousness while we're in the body. There's no limit. All we know, when we're operating with that 10%, we learn 10% of the equation, but then there's 90% of what's not being, you know, tapped into. And the linchpin that I encourage all of you, no matter what level you think you are, how much memory are you really using? Ask yourself that. Go into your personal philosophies, your personal relationships with God or your spirituality, and say, out of these 100 plus million years of memory that we're able to access, so be told, how much are we accessing on the individual? And be honest about, be take inventory. I realized that I could gauge it based on how much I use technology versus how much I'm tapped into nature. You see, so I'm using the machine's memory. I'm using ChatGPT. I'm using all these different things, but I got so much something more vast. And I teach a course called telepathic memorization. We have a telepathic group that we've been operating with for 2 years. So when I talk about we're moving into the telepathic age, we're here. As of October 15th, according to the calendar that's flawed, we have crossed over into that according to the cosmology. So what do these telepathic and extrasensory practices mean to us on a day-to-day basis? To be able to predict the future, to be able to go into precognition and see what's gonna happen before it happens. Is there value in that? You better believe it. I use it, but it's a practice. Because the mind says, if it's not a big enough purpose for it, why do I need to be telepathic when I can just call somebody on a cell phone? It's a done deal then. Your mind is not going to see the significance of being precognitive in nature, or go into retrocognition where you can see what really happened in the past, or remote view. So this is calling forth a part of the mind, right, that we haven't used on a regular basis to fulfill our day-to-day activities in this experience we call life. And what I'm saying, it's time to tap in to those experiences so we can see just how dynamic we can become while in this body. And if we allow that, as I've seen over these last 9 years, and with these over 1,000, I'll tell you, the 1,000 one-on-one sessions did something, because now I see it happening in other people. The 21 consecutive semesters of teaching this, just, I'm not a teacher. See, that's how I know it's real. I'm not under any psychedelics. I've taught, this is the 21st consecutive term and semester that I've taught this, and I wasn't a teacher, and I wasn't a coach either, and coached over 1,000 sessions. So that means that anybody, if I can do it, anybody can do it. But we all tapping into the same memory. We all tapping into the same consciousness. The problem is, what blockages do we have that are limiting us from accessing this power? Mm-hmm. And we gotta be able to be open enough and intuitive enough to receive those messages. I'll say this last thing. One of the things that's guided me, I didn't have a teacher that taught me, hey, this is what you do, this is what you don't do with the cosmology. So that's another point. I'm not saying that in a braggadocious way. I'm saying it in the most humblest way, because I've had to follow my intuition through this. This has been partly a faith walk. And what I've learned about intuition, as I ask, how do I do this, for example? How is this going to work? And I receive precise instructions, right? Now, I don't really believe that you, when you ask, you're going to get what you ask for. What I believe is you're going to get instructions on how to get what you ask for. And then the practices and the disciplines that we have to go through and grow through to complete those instructions to get where we want to be and get what we want is what defines us and what moves us into higher planes of consciousness and awareness to operate in this experience. And so I'm encouraging everyone to make evolution your solution, whether, no matter what your circumstances are, whether it's money, whether you got some ailments in the body, there's a state of consciousness that overrides, that don't have a conflict with what you got a conflict with, and can heal your body, they can heal your finances, they can heal your interpersonal relationships with people. And as we able to follow those instructions, we'll realize that in the most abundant and prosperous way. So brother, I tell you, I appreciate you, brother Rashad, for having me, and you can bet we'll be talking, and I would love to be a regular member. I love to grow this platform with you and the panelists. And please feel free to share my email address with everyone to reach out to me to continue the dialogue. Iron sharpens iron, steel sharpens steel, and let's evolve together. I turn it back to you, my brother.
I appreciate you, brother. And of course, we want to have you. If you want to be, you know, around us and helping us to educate, because that's what it's about. It's community education network, and it's worldwide, and you bring a galactic portion to that, plus other people like Brother Tawara and Brother Mashinda. He didn't have a question tonight, but he, you know, I told Brother Tarka, you know, what he's talking about reminded me of Phil Valentine. And Brother Machinda turned me on to Phil Valentine years ago. So it's excellent, man. It's a beautiful thing. Appreciate you being here. Professor Rock, who do we have next week on Tuesday?
We have Brother Asad Jabal. He's going to be talking about Christianity and racism and the spiritual. And so, you know, he's lived over 20 years in Cuba. He's lived in Africa, and he's lived in Japan. And so he's, you know, he's been on the show a number of times, but he's coming in for the holiday season. And so he's going to come on this Tuesday.
And that is going to be a great show as usual, because this brother holds back nothing. And he has a very rich history, and he can kind of relate to what you're talking about, Brother Neil. So I encourage you, if you have time next week, to chime in on Tuesday, because this brother brings it. And, you know, I've been knowing him for years, and I enjoy every time he comes on. So next week on Wednesday, we don't have a show, but the following week marks our fourth year anniversary here doing the Community Education Network podcast series. So we will have Brother Ronnie Roberts as our guest for that show. This will be his second time coming on for our anniversary. And we're going to talk about this Trump election. So that'll be interesting also. So I appreciate everybody for coming this evening. If you want to know what we're doing, we're on weekly. All you do is visit Community Education Network like you did this evening to get on this show. And it's the same process. It's been a very excellent show this evening. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Brother Neb, for coming and dropping this science, because we need it. So I'm going to say Conscious Corner and Teach One, Teach One. Everybody have a great rest of the day or evening.